news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, it's the middle of June and the time of year when the Supreme Court announces the decisions they've yet to release thus far. On Monday morning, we got a biggie, and the good guys won. In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court ruled that discrimination based on sexual orientation is illegal under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Yes, a historic win for gay and lesbian workplace rights. Out of all justices, Neil Gorsuch delivered the opinion of the court in which Chief Justice Roberts and Associate Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined in. Justice Alito filed the dissenting opinion with Thomas and Kavanaugh, also writing their own dissenting opinions. Gorsuch writes, "An employer who fires an individual for being homosexual or transgender fires that person for traits or actions it would not have questioned in members of a different sex. Sex plays a necessary and undistinguishable role in the decision, exactly what Title VII forbids." Awesome. We also learned Monday morning that the Supreme Court has declined to hear most of the pending cases left regarding qualified immunity, Second Amendment rights, and sanctuary cities. We'll get more opinions on Thursday. Perhaps then we'll find out how the Supreme Court is ruling on DACA. In the wake of the outrage over his decision to hold a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of one of the worst episodes of racist violence in America, on Juneteenth, no less, Donald Trump reversed himself and announced he'd postpone the event a day until June 20th. But Bruce Dart, Tulsa's top public health official, is publicly asking him not to come, citing the coronavirus pandemic. And on Monday morning, the editorial board of the newspaper Tulsa World proclaimed, "This is the wrong time, and Tulsa is the wrong place for Trump rally." But the numbers are clear. More than 2 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 have been reported in the U.S., and more than 115,000 Americans have died from the disease. Around 800 Americans are still dying each and every day. Some 22 states are seeing major increases in the number of cases reported. 9 states continue to report record numbers of new coronavirus infections over the weekend. Florida, on Sunday, reported its second straight day with more than 2,000 new COVID cases. Saturday's total of 2,581 was a record for the Sunshine State, where the outbreak is intensifying. But authorities keep opening more beaches. Alabama on Sunday reported a record number of new cases for the fourth straight day. Alaska, Arkansas, California, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and South Carolina have also reported daily infections hitting new highs in recent days. And if that's not enough, another day, another black man shot and killed by police. This time it was in Atlanta, where police were called because a man was asleep in his car blocking the drive-thru at a Wendy's restaurant. Atlanta police video released Sunday shows a seemingly routine sobriety check that spun out of control, ending in gunfire and the death of 27-year-old Rayshard Brooks by 2 white officers. Within 48 hours of the incident, the Atlanta officer who shot Brooks was terminated, the city's police chief stepped down, and the Wendy's where the shooting took place burned to the ground. Videos from the police, the restaurant, and witnesses are being used to piece together the last minutes of Brooks' life. The Fulton County, Georgia Medical Examiner's Office reported late Sunday that an autopsy showed that Rayshard Brooks died of 2 gunshot wounds to the back in a homicide. Body cam video shows that Brooks grabbed the taser of one of the officers as they tried to arrest him after a sobriety test, and then he was running away when he was fatally shot in the back. The district attorney, Paul Howard, criticized the 2 white officers involved in the killing, saying, quote, "Brooks did not seem to present any kind of threat to anyone." A new poll by HuffPost YouGov released Friday shows that a near universal majority of Americans support at least some changes to policing. However, fewer than a third of Americans support, quote, defunding the police, as opposed to other reforms like banning chokeholds, which is backed by 73% of the population. Importantly, there's a lack of clarity around what it means to, quote, defund the police. Most respondents in the poll agreed the phrase means significantly decreasing the size of police forces and the scope of their work, but some interpret the phrase as, quote, completely abolishing police forces. Americans are nearly evenly split on, quote, budgeting less money for your local police department and more for social services, which is what most of the activists who say their goal of defunding the police means. The Trump administration's Department of Health and Human Services on Friday announced the end of a rule that guaranteed health care protections for transgender people. The rule was established along with the Affordable Care Act, and it prevented health care providers from denying transgender patients health care by banning discrimination on the basis of gender identity. When Health and Human Services announced its plans to scrap this policy, advocacy groups and lawmakers alike began criticizing the move as damaging to a vulnerable group of Americans. The new policy will allow healthcare providers to further lean on religious exemptions. In its announcement, Health and Human Services said the move, quote, will eliminate mass confusion that was unleashed by the Obama-era decision. Huh? The nonprofit Human Rights Campaign quickly announced a legal challenge to the rule. And finally, we've been hearing about a few books that are scheduled for release soon, including John Bolton's long-teased and delayed The Room Where It Happened, now scheduled for an on-sale date of June 23rd. Then there's The Art of Her Deal, about Melania Trump, by the Washington Post's Mary Jordan, which is officially being released on Tuesday. And now we learn that a close family member of Donald Trump's is about to spill the beans, too. This time it's Trump's niece, the daughter of his deceased brother, Fred Jr., who's set to publish a tell-all this summer that will detail harrowing and salacious stories about the president. Titled Too Much and Never Enough, the book is set to go on sale August 11th, just a few weeks before the Republican National Convention. Reportedly, one of the most explosive revelations Mary Trump will detail in the book is how she played a critical role helping the New York Times print startling revelations about Trump's taxes, including how he was involved in fraudulent tax schemes and had received more than $400 million in today's dollars from his father's real estate empire. Stay tuned. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.